Thanks, Gary. It's a pleasure to be here with you as well. When we approached this subject, we decided that obviously we weren't going to be able to give anyone answers, but it would be interesting and helpful to go through the questions, and that's what we're doing here. Is a sort of online CLE version of a law school exam. We're issue spotting for you. These are the things that are going to come up. And so the legal issues that we identified that are right away going to become much more involved with the advent of AI and robotics. The first one that we came up with, of course, is the hiring process. We talked about, Gary talked about things being task-oriented and repetitive. Well, there's nothing more task-oriented and repetitive than sorting through resumes when you're hiring, right? And so that's one of the first places that we're seeing the application of AI systems. You get in 1,000 resumes, and it takes a human being a very long time to go through and weed out those that don't meet the basic requirements. So can we hand that task off to a machine? And the answer, of course, is yes, and people are already beginning to do this. But that creates a lot of legal issues for us, and we're going to talk about a little bit more in a second. But they are things like, is there bias in the process? Are we missing something? How good are our inputs to the system, and how is the system making its decisions, and how can that get us into trouble or not into trouble later on in the process? Similarly, the advent of AI and the advent of robotics causes us to have to change our workforce, sometimes drastically and sometimes not. There are going to be fewer jobs in a lot of senses, and there are going to be different types of jobs in a lot of senses. And so the simplest application that I can sort of give you for this from our own experience as a truck manufacturer is when we bolt on tires in the factory. So, you know, back in the day, bolting on a tire involved an individual with a wrench. He would put the tire on and he would tighten each of the 8 lug nuts by hand. And he had to know sort of how tight to make them to be tolerances, and he had to know how to do that quickly enough to get the truck down the line. And then we decided, well, let's get some computers involved here so he doesn't have to know the torsions, and we know that every time that lug nut gets tightened to the exact tension we want. So we gave him a gun to do that, and he would take this gun and he would do each successive lug nut. And then we said, well, why does he have to do them singly? We're going to give him a gun that does 4 at a time. So he does 4, and then he does 4 more. And then we said, well, gee, 4 is not enough. Let's do all 8 at the same time. So if you go into our plants now, that person, and it used to be 4 people at least, and now it's 2, one on each side of the truck, just takes a big machine, puts it up to the truck, hits a button, and it tightens all those lug nuts itself to the exact tolerances we want. So that changed 4 jobs that required some knowledge and some experience tightening those nuts to the exact right tolerance, and turned it into 2 jobs that requires really no knowledge except how to move the machine and hit the button. And when that happens, as I said, you lose 2 jobs. And so what kind of legal issues does that arise? How do you select who goes and who stays? How do you select who you retrain for different types of jobs? And we'll talk a little bit about that in some other aspects of the manufacturing process. And those selections, of course, are just like any other layoff selection or promotion selection. They have all kinds of issues involved in discrimination, disparate impact, and disparate treatment. Along the same line, if you're cutting a lot of jobs, you get into labor issues and contract negotiations. Those of you that have union workforces will know that often those contracts have specific provisions about what work we can change and what work we can move away from the union. And moving it away from the union, depending on how your contract is interpreted, may include moving those jobs to a robot rather than just moving them to a different location. So we have to see that issue coming in our contract negotiations. As Gary mentioned, another issue is outsourcing. As we find different ways to make our manufacturing process more streamlined and to outsource some of those things to other companies, we run into issues with trade secrets. That's both in applying the technology to our product. So we as a truck manufacturer are not the experts in AI. We outsource the development of the AI software to another company. But how does that work with trade secrets? That company may also be developing an AI software for one of our direct competitors. So how do we make sure that those trade secrets stay ours and don't move somewhere else? In the same vein, if we're moving some of our production to another company, does that make us a joint employer with that company if we're controlling how they're doing their jobs? So those are issues that are also going to come up as robotics and AI change the way we do our work. And then IP creation. Again, when we're a joint partnership with these other companies that have other expertise, we have these ideas of, who owns the IP for the systems that we're creating for our trucks? And perhaps more importantly, from an in-house counsel perspectives, who carries the liability when something goes wrong? If an AI system in one of our trucks makes the wrong decision and results in an accident, do we carry that liability, or does the company that taught that system how to make that decision carry that liability? How do we allocate that in that?